Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf, maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield, adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown, 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor, because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
I told you, Kevin, strange things happen when there's a harvest supermoon.
NFL Network analyst.
One thing I hear a lot of casuals say is...
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
I am one of those casuals, Lawrence Holmes.
I heard.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, and great clips. And as a matter of fact, Kurt Warner joins us here, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And this segment is brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We are good, man. I don't mind being a casual. I had a former colleague once who was called a NARP, a non-athletic regular person. Like, here we are. This is why we call you, Kurt, so you can help us figure out exactly what's going on.
I'm here for it.
Thanks, man. I was disappointed with the play of the quarterback yesterday, but what did you see? And I don't know if you've had a chance to see the tape after just the game itself on TV.
Yes, sir. I watched the tape. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that I was necessarily – disappointed in, you know, Caleb's play. I thought they moved the ball, especially early, and then they kind of stalled in the red zone, and, you know, not a lot of stuff going in the red zone. Again, I just think it was kind of a lackluster performance across the board. I didn't look at the game and go, oh my gosh, you know, this was a setback for Caleb, or he didn't that he didn't play, you know, well at all. I didn't take that from the game. I don't think they played well as a team. I don't think there was a lot of great things going on. You know, like we had seen the last few weeks, like everything that Ben was dialing up was successful and guys were open and all of this stuff. I just felt like it was tougher. It was tougher for them yesterday, and it wasn't smooth and it wasn't easy, you know, especially after, again, those first couple drives. I thought they moved the ball really well and got in position. They just couldn't finish. And that was kind of a thing, you know, most of the day for them. But yeah, I mean, overall, I just thought it was, you know, just not anywhere close to how they had been performing the last couple weeks.
What's key to red zone success?
Man, I mean, there's so many different things. You know, like sometimes it can be a really creative design that can attack, you know, like, yeah, I believe it was the Chicago game. You know, you guys know I watch all the tapes, so sometimes it runs together, but, yeah, I think there was, you know, one play where You know, as you can expect, you know, there's two receivers on each side, you know, a formation, and then you end up blocking your back for some reason. So there was one play where, you know, Baltimore dropped into a zone. So they rushed four. They have seven guys back. So one time, you know, they had four against two on one side and three against two on the other side because the back ended up staying in and wasn't really involved. And, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to do? Like, there's, you know, very few creative concepts where two guys are going to beat four guys. You know, so it can be creative, you know, in figuring out how when a team's going to drop seven, how do you isolate one guy or one area? But it's hard because the space is condensed. You know, you got to think that the safeties no longer are worried about getting beat over the top and deep. So now they squeeze it. And, you know, and so now all of that space is condensed. And so it can start with creative design. It can, you know, it can be the quarterback has to be so in tune with what he's seeing and where the angles or the windows are on a play. Because if you're late, it's over. Like if you're late, the window is gone. So you have to be able to see and understand that details of how we're running a route and how I've got to attack a safety. I got to, you know, get to his inside number. Like it's vital so I can get a high low on him, or I got to attack the Mike linebacker in a certain way. You know, so I pull him this way or make him do that. You know, and then sometimes it's just players, you know, have to make plays. And, you know, you got to have maybe a special wide receiver or a special back that you're getting the ball to in space. It has to make somebody miss. And so sometimes it comes down to that. So I don't know if there's always just one key to it. You know, a lot of teams that I'm seeing having success down there are, you know, teams that can run the football fairly well. And then they have great success with the play action plays, you know, because a lot of times when you get into heavy formations, you know, other teams will match you in heavy personnel. So they're, you know, they're in those situations where, you know, you're adding tight ends and they're bringing in linebackers. And so the number of things that they can do and the number of times they practice, you know, playing a seven drop zone with four linebackers, like things like that, they don't do it very often. You know, they usually are practicing that stuff with their nickel guys when you expect to be four wide receivers. And so you get into those modes and a lot of teams are going to play man-to-man coverage. And so a lot of teams that are having success down there are the ones that have gotten creative with their pass games and their naked bootlegs in those types of heavy formations where they know they're going to get man-to-man coverage. Because you get man-to-man, now it's so much easier to create, oh, I could create a rub here, some interference, or, you know, get a guy out in space. And so, you know, like the Rams are so good at what I call block nakeds. And so you got to envision that, okay, you got two tight ends on the right-hand side, and the defense is in man-to-man coverage. And so your tight ends will come off and they'll block. And so the guy that's covering him man-to-man sees him block. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, okay, you see him block, but he's still your guy. But you have to realize that these defenders also have, you know, gaps that they have to cover in the run game. So when they see their tight end block, they've got to go and attack the run game in their gap. And then all of a sudden the tight end throws the defensive end and leaks out. And that defender was stepping into his gap to fill for the run. Now he's a step behind, boom, quick little throw, and we've got a touchdown. So a lot of teams that are really good down there are the teams that A, can run, and then B, have been creative. The Green Bays, a lot of people in that, you know, Shanahan world, at the play action stuff. So it's not like rocket science. It's not like these really fancy concepts, but it's being able to utilize where we can gain an advantage and using the defenses, you know, what the defense has to do and what their responsibilities are against them.
Kurt, it's so funny that you said that because I was drawing it up while you were talking about it. And the first person I thought of was Tucker Kraft when you said that.
Oh yeah. He's great at it. Like, I mean, he catches them all the time. And again, the Rams, I mean, just go watch the Rams tape. I don't know if there's anybody better, you know, at doing that. But again, it's so hard. That's what you have to understand. It's so hard on a defender because what am I supposed to do? Like, I know, you know, like, I can't just be out here in left field going, well, all I'm worried about is if my tight end goes out, he can't catch a touchdown pass. And then all of a sudden there's a huge gap there where they walk into the end zone on a run. So these guys have both run and pass responsibilities. And it's why I've always said that I think the hardest position to play on defense is linebacker, because you have these incredibly, you know, athletic tight ends, and they're also responsible not only for covering them down the field, but also responsible for their run reads. So when you give a play action fake, and if your offensive line does a good job to give these guys a read, they have to step up or hesitate and be ready to hit their gap as a run stopper. Now, boom, all of a sudden this 4-5, you know, huge tight end is running down the field and you got to turn and cover him. It's the biggest mismatch in football, in my opinion, and especially when you're adding the play action part of it. And so that to me is one way. If you're good at those things, one way to create some easy opportunities and some good ways to attack in the red zone, as opposed to trying to come up with the perfect concept against drop seven defense with, you know, with four wide receivers.
Kurt Warner with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. What are we to make of the fact that after the first 15, like after the first two possessions, this offense has been drastically less efficient? There are numbers we could look at with it, points per possession, and one of the local beat writers did that, but it also fits the eye test. So after the first 15, things are more challenging for the offense.
I mean, I think a lot of people look at it a couple different ways. You know, I hear a lot of people talk all the time about, well, the quarterback's really good on the first 15, and then he's not very good after that. So he's not very good, you know? And so that's one way to look at it. Like, okay, you know, the coach dialed up the best plays in the first 15. And so because those guys were wide open, the quarterback was really good. And then he's not very good after that. So that's one way to look at it. And I hear people do that all the time. And then the other way to look at it is like, well, why can't coach dial up some better plays through the rest of the game, so the game's easier on me as a quarterback after the first 15, if that's what's going on? And so, I think it's a combination of things. It's like you go in and you are thinking about and designing this first 15. You are running this first 15 more, right, throughout the week. And you have your script at some point where you usually run through that the day before. And so these are plays that, you know, you've practiced a lot and are good at. And, you know, and you're also using the first 15 to you know, create some different looks and like, hey, I'm going to give them this formation and see how they react to it. But the best way that, you know, that you're going to have success, maybe the first time you show it to them because they're not ready for it. And so you have success in the first 15 and then they go to the sideline and go, hey, we weren't really ready for that. They hadn't shown it. But if they do that next time, here's what we're going to do. And you had designed a secondary play to go, oh, shoot, they gave us that right look, just what we thought, let's call that. And all of a sudden they made an adjustment. So, you know, that's part of the cat and mouse of, you know, of every game. Like I remember that I'll take you guys back to the year that we went to the Super Bowl with Arizona. On Thanksgiving, we played Philly in Philly. And, you know, my guys at the NFL Network still joke with me because they had to leave their families on Thanksgiving. And I was awful in that game. And we got blown out by like 30 points. And I threw three picks. And they're like, you made us go across the country and leave our families to watch that. It was terrible. And you know, we went into that game and we didn't really know what to expect with, you know, how we played offense. And so we played and we were playing a lot of four wide stuff at the time. And you know, Philly did, you know, some things that we didn't expect in that game. And, you know, so we left and it was like, we weren't really prepared for that. We hadn't really seen them do that. Now, ironically enough, we would play Philly in the championship game to go to the Super Bowl. And so I remember, you know, I memory banked that game. And obviously didn't know we were going to play them again. But so when it came time we were going to play Philly again, I couldn't get into my coach's office fast enough and go, okay, here's what they did to us last time. Here's what we're going to do this time. And we built a package to be able to take advantage of what we saw in that game because they shut us down in that area. And so I was going to have an answer for that if they were going to do it again. And so that happens sometimes, is that you don't fully know what a team's going to do. You can watch tape and you can see what they've done to other people and you can expect those things, but it doesn't always mean that's what they're going to do to you. Again, you guys know I can talk forever. I love this stuff. So I'm watching the Cincinnati game against the Jets. And, you know, late in that game, obviously Cincinnati needed to make some plays to get back in and try to win the game. And I heard some people on TV talking like, you know, it's coaching malpractice that they didn't throw it to T. Higgins or Jamar Chase, you know, on those final couple plays, and they didn't convert and they lose the game. Well, if you go and watch the tape, what you realize is that the Jets in every one of those critical situations doubled T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. They didn't play with any safeties in the middle of the field. They took those safeties out of there. They doubled those two guys and said, these two guys will not beat us. And so Joe Flacco or you know, the coach is, you know, now calling these plays, of course, calling them to get one of those two guys, I'm sure, at the focal point of what they're doing. And they just said, you will not complete it to them. So now everything you're doing is going to a secondary player, first of all, but also a secondary route. Like the route, it wasn't necessarily designed to be the key route to win in those situations, but they forced them to do that. And, you know, so they don't have success. And you go back on the tape and you're like, well, here's why. And we weren't quite ready for that. We really didn't build a route for our third guy to have a great route against this coverage to win in this situation. And so that's the kind of stuff that is fascinating when you watch the tape, and that so many people have no clue. They don't understand. And it's easy to just say, throw it to Jamar Chase in third down situations. Well, okay, there's two guys blanketing him. You know, is that really what you want me to do? So those are the kind of things that are so great about this game. And it's the cat and mouse, and why you get outside the first 15 and it can be a lot harder, you know, to make sure you've got the right plays. Cause again, I go back to that game in Philly, you know, like we had our game plan, and yeah, there's times that I would go up to the sideline and draw up a play and go, hey, okay, we're going to run this instead because they're doing that. But you can't do that with 20 different plays throughout the game. You're not recreating your entire playbook on the sideline and thinking you're going to go execute it, you know, in a moment against an NFL team and have success. So you can make small adjustments, but not big ones. So if a team comes out and does something you're fully not ready for that you've never seen before, we can say a lot of different things about it. Like you blame on the coach. Well, how did you not know they were going to do that? Well, because I've never seen it before. So we can only go off of what we know. And so, again, it's the fascinating part of it. It's what I love about watching tape. It's what I love about talking about ball and the challenge of being great at this level.
Kerr, when it comes to choice routes, and I know the answer is probably a combination of both, but how do quarterbacks and receivers get on the same page? Is that more about the film or more gameplay speed? Because looking at some of the decisions yesterday, and Caleb said, look, they had a choice route on that one with Colston. We weren't on the same page. We've seen some of that before where guys choose to sit in a zone and Caleb is thinking that they're going to keep going towards the next defender. So how do you get better at that?
It's one reason why when I played, I hated choice routes. You know, because first of all, it comes down to having a guy that's really good at what they're doing, you know, and really understands the complexity of what they're seeing and the structure of what they're seeing. The second thing is that guy needs to see it like I needed to see it. Like, it doesn't matter how well he sees it. If he's not seeing what I'm seeing, it's going to create some problems. And then the third thing is that if we did choice routes, I wanted to try to limit the choice routes to two options. So a lot of times you'll see these choice routes now and they give the receivers the ability to break in, break out, or sit down. And that to me is a huge problem because here, again, if you want to draw this or if you guys want to visualize this, I do radio, so maybe I can do a good job of visualizing this. But let's just say I'm dropping back as a quarterback and I don't know if my receiver is going to break in or break out on this choice route. I'll ask you guys, if you guys were my coach, because this is to me a problem, is, hey coach, where do you want me to start my eyes? Like, do you want me to read inside to make sure that there's nobody inside if the receiver breaks inside? Or do you want me to start my eyes outside? So if he breaks outside, I'm verifying that there's nobody outside so I can throw it to him. Where do you want me to start my eyes? Because that matters to me. Like if I'm looking outside and all of a sudden I come back to my receiver and he breaks inside, I am completely blind to anything that's going on the inside. And also my feet and eyes are set to throw outside, and now I've got to react back to the inside, or vice versa. And so just that in and of itself, if that makes sense to you guys, it's so important for me to see in front of a choice route. Like you talked about a shallow route, and how do you get on the same page? Like for me, when a guy was running a shallow route, I never looked at the shallow route until it was time to throw it. So my eyes would always be out in front of the shallow route. So I was seeing what was going on out there. Okay, is there a defender out there? Is it cleared out? What's going on? So that was the first part, is I always wanted to verify what was out in front of any shallow route. And the other thing that I wanted to do by not looking at that guy is I wanted to give him as much time as possible to make his decision. So when I did get to him, hopefully he was in the position that I wanted him in, or the position that, you know, because we used to always say he couldn't make a decision until he got to the backside tackle. So I was trying to hold my eyes out in front of it long enough that he was getting to that backside tackle before I got to him, or as I was getting to him. So now I wasn't anticipating what he was going to do. I was trying to see what he was going to do. And so I wasn't thinking, oh, there's nobody out there, he's going to keep running and throw it, without really looking at him. You know, we used to always tell our guys too, like, if you're a receiver and you're running across the field and I don't get your eyes. So let's say I got to my shallow route a little bit earlier and his eyes weren't looking at me. He was looking out in front of him. We used to say, if you didn't give the quarterback your eyes, you were going to sit down. So if I came back to him early and his eyes weren't on me, I expected him to sit down when he got to that opposite tackle box. If I came back to him early and his eyes were on me, I could throw it to him at any point in time, because that was telling me I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep going. So if that was the case, I already verified what was in front of him. Oh, shoot, there's a defender there. I come back, his eyes are on me. I have to now make a decision. Can I put it on him before he gets to that defender and protect him from that defender? Or do I need to move on to the next guy because we're not on the same page with what we're seeing? So again, there's so many things that go into it. So to me, it was always, I want to simplify this. Like on the choice routes that we used to run, again, visualize all this stuff, I would only give my choice runner the ability to break out. That was his first option. I want you to break out. And if there's a defender out there, then you can hook. Those are the only two options you get. So what we would also do with our choice route is I like to put like an 18-yard comeback outside of my choice route. So now it was easy for me as a quarterback to come back. My eyes were reading whatever defender was the flat defender, whatever the outside defender was out there. If he squatted and stayed low, boom, I'm right over the top right now to my comeback and we win. If he gets high, and so he goes and covers the comeback, great. I'm in a perfect position now to know my guy is either going to break out or hook based on the next defender that I could see. And so now it became easy for me to know and for us to be on the same page, because it was all about, did my receiver get leverage on the next guy or not? I didn't have to worry about him breaking inside and was there another guy there. I limited the field to that small little area, outside flat defender to the next hook defender, my eyes, my feet, everything. We were on the same page. It was easy to see that and to be able to make my progressions. And so again, we might have missed some huge plays that my receiver could have broken inside and caught it and made a big play down the middle of the field. Yep, we probably missed some of those. But I guarantee you that my percentage was way higher knowing this is what I'm doing. These are our options. This is what I'm looking at, and I can play fast, and we can be successful. And we might only get 6 or 7 yards on the play instead of 20, but I was going to hit it more times because I knew exactly how it was going to play out.
Thank you so much, Kurt Warner. Great stuff every week, man. We appreciate you.
You got it. Great talking.
Thanks.
So there's some updates injury-wise for the Bears. Shamar Turner tore his ACL. He is out for the year.
Oh, hold on. Let that register for a second. That's a second-round pick who was just starting to get some play.
Yeah, he's getting some burn.
Out for the year.
Yep. Dominique Robinson is out for a few weeks, according to Ben Johnson. Alamide Zaccheaus has got a knee. He's day-to-day. Luther Burden is in the concussion protocol.
Woof. Woof.
Yeah, it's not great.
There is some defensive line depth that needs to be addressed. Daniel Hardy was in there for some key moments of that game yesterday. And yeah, that's terrible news about Turner.
It is.
Second round picks are important.
They very much are.
Even if they're just H-backs as swing tackles.
I actually really like the way that Ozzie Trapillo was used yesterday. I thought he did a nice job.
As an H-back?
Yeah, as kind of the flex tackle guy. Like, I thought he did a really nice job.
Somebody's got to be Dan Singer.
That's right. Someone has to be. We need to take a break because there were shenanigans. Right? Are we calling shenanigans on the Ravens?
Tomfoolery?
Yeah, I think we should discuss that next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
A lot happening in Baltimore this week. Let's check in with Evan.
Yeah, and that's one way of putting it. Plenty of people had this game circled as the potential return for that man, Lamar Jackson. He's been out since week 4 with the hamstring. He was back at practice Wednesday and Thursday in a limited capacity. We saw him on Friday from the scout team for what appeared to be a full practice. The team listed him as a full participant and questionable for this game. Then on Saturday, after some discussions with the league, they changed that to limited and out. And that led to a lot of confusion, not just for folks consuming the content, but also even the Bears. We were talking to them last night when they were thinking, we've got Lamar on Friday and then Tyler Huntley on Saturday, fellas.
Yeah, we heard Kevin Byard in our meeting on Saturday say, we prepped for Lamar all week long, and then once we saw him listed as full on Friday, we basically knew he was going to go. And then we didn't find out until Saturday morning after our walkthrough when I checked my phone like everybody else, and that's when Kevin Byard and the Bears found out that Lamar wasn't going to play.
All right, so that's from CBS. It's Evan Washburn with the sideline report, and then J.J. Watt chiming in. And when I heard that, I was like, wait a minute. Like, really? Because J.J. being on it and saying, yeah, Byard walked into our meeting like we had no idea that that's not the guy that we were playing against.
Not till after their walkthrough, which is the final time they had to even think about it.
Yes. And then it's like, it's not even the second guy. It's the third guy. Now, there are similarities in their game. And I'm not using this as an excuse. I just think it's dirty pool. I don't like that. Like, it's one thing to do the gamesmanship thing. It's another thing to flat out lie on your injury report.
And it's not just a designation lie. Listen to John Harbaugh's voice on Friday after practice talking to the media.
Don't you want to hear about everybody?
No.
Oh, that's the one.
Okay. If we're being honest.
Okay, appreciate the honesty. I know this. He practiced today, full practice today, so that was good. And we'll see where we're at going forward.
Full practice today.
Yeah.
Full practice. Folks.
That's not making a mistake with someone losing it in translation and then sending that information into the league. That's your head coach.
Factually speaking, if you are the starter and you don't take starter reps, that's not full practice.
That's limited participation.
He didn't take starter reps. He took scout team reps. So then when it's brought to his attention, what's this, after the game? Listen to John Harbaugh after the game try to backtrack it. What happened?
From your perspective, what happened with the miscommunication around Lamar's injury status? And were you unclear on the rule that I guess he couldn't be listed as a full participant if he only ran practice squad?
Yeah. Well, the status was pretty much the status all the way through. We were hoping, we weren't going to rule him out before we had to, I think at the end of the day, it just the conversations that were had, they just didn't feel like the two games in the 5 days would be the thing to do, So
that comes back
to us. And when you hear that as a coach, that's what you do. So with him not practicing, with the first offense throughout the week, it's just getting Tyler ready to go, and we're going to go play football with Tyler. And if Lamar would have come back, if it could have happened, as a coach, I'd put him in there. And Tyler, you'd understood that, right? That would have been the way it would have gone. But
right.
He didn't get to the point where I think they felt comfortable with that part of it. The other part of it, I'm not involved in those rules. I don't know those particular rules. Ooh. So that's that was probably, I think, in their defense,
Man.
He practiced a full practice. I think they felt like because he did the same number of reps, it was a full practice. But when you dig in and you read the rule, at the end of the day, it wasn't right. So that's what it was. That's why as soon as we found out, we changed it.
You said they. Who's they? Who makes that?
Yeah, that's in the training room and the PR on the other side. It's not in the football side.
John, do you expect
the medical side?
John, do you expect
the But it's an honest mistake. I mean, it really is an honest mistake. I can tell you this. Nobody's trying to hide anything. I mean, there's no advantage. There's no advantage to be gained,
Yes, there is.
I mean, it was he practiced. His status was what it was. He was questionable. I do think if we'd have had the old status, maybe they would have said doubtful. Maybe. I don't know. But questionable or out. We weren't going to say out because he wasn't out, until Saturday when that conversation was had on the medical side.
I caught zero logic in all that. And that last bit, pure gibberish.
Yeah, dude, exactly. Hey, buddy.
Who you crapping?
Who are you crapping? I'm just a simple head coach. I don't know.
I have no ideas, even though I'm on the rules committee. Even though I'm the longest tenured coach in the NFL, I had no idea that they had these rules. And when I broke them on purpose to give myself a decided strategic advantage.
And if you don't mind me bus-tossing my medical and PR staff.
How about that?
Dude, my God.
They took the pinball machines.
That's why he's pissed. That's why he's bus-tossing them.
The problem is that it was a dishonest mistake.
Yes.
That's why you're going to get fined by the NFL.
Dude, Mike Florio is so hot for this. He wants him to lose a draft pick or Harbaugh to get suspended or something.
I don't think it's going to go that far. Woo! But the league doesn't like this type of stuff for a couple of reasons. One of them, they're not going to like me saying. But the other one is, it's not fair to the other team, and they would like for it to be fair. The other part is gambling.
6.5 points was the spread. Then it went up to 7. It got all the way to 7. 7's a big deal, folks.
They covered it, by the way.
Yeah, but they would get to 7. And then on Saturday, after news, actually,
it was before the news.
Hey, the
line moved
to 2.5.
Yeah.
That's enormous.
And can I just say that it's stuff like that that make people wonder where the betting is coming from and what information do you have that's going to change the way you may bet.
You know where I heard it went down to 2.5? From former Cleveland Cavalier Damon Jones.
I thought that you got a text while you were playing poker with Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, Chauncey Billups let
me know. And Antonio Gates, apparently, allegedly.
Yeah. Tanny, there's got to be hundreds of people that were that were rooked into playing poker games, wow. And we are going to hear about them.
Wow, dude. John Harbaugh with some grade A bull bleep.
Yeah, man.
Right there after the game and on Friday, and they got caught. Hardcore, because Ian Rappaport reported the scout team. And Evan Washburn!
Hey, Evan! He's supposed to be our guy!
We had you on the air. You said, thank you. You said it was a nice time.
No, that's on you guys. You guys should have asked him, was Lamar Jackson on scout team today when you watched him? That's just all on you guys.
I know it's
and that's on you too, Alex.
That's right. We're so concerned about his conversation with Caleb that we forgot to ask about how...
This is why you don't get to host categories as much as you'd like.
Such an oversight from the production team, a.k.a. me.
Yes. I mean, my God. I gotta ask, what a bunch of crap from the Ravens. That you think it really had a big competitive advantage?
I think that it can. I don't think that it did just because the styles are similar. The players are not, but the styles.
For Huntley.
And you saw like inverted wishbone that they were running out of in the red zone, like that sort of stuff that they do with Lamar. So I'm sure that if those guys are preparing for it, they're seeing a lot of the same looks. I think the playbook is similar for Snoop. Than it more similar to Lamar with Snoop than it is for Cooper Rush. But still, that's the whole point of this.
Do you hear
the whole point is so that you don't have an unfair advantage against your team, that you can't lie about what the injuries are.
You know what? He's a big fat liar.
Mike's been on the muscle on this for the last couple days, and he's 100% right. I don't think that they're going to get hit with like a loss of a draft pick, and if they do, it'll be like a late round draft pick, but they're definitely getting fined.
TJ Edwards was on with Mully and Haw, and he talked about preparing for Lamar Jackson this morning.
I mean, in terms of the Lamar Jackson thing, I think that's more something that you guys get to go talk about. But for us, man, we're pretty locked in on our game plan on what we need to be doing. I think, again, we were preparing for Tyler Huntley. We got to watch some tape on him. You know, he came in the LA game, and at the end, you kind of saw a little bit of that quarterback run game, and that was kind of our hunch that that's what we would see. And so we kind of had a feeling that was going to come up. And again, man, I thought he executed well. And just
no diss to TJ, but for a team that was really prepared for Snoop, didn't go great for you.
Yeah, that defense had a rough go. It did. And the secondary being decimated was part of it. And some of the guys that were healthy in the secondary did not play well.
Yeah, I went back and watched the game this morning, and I was looking at different stuff, and then I just kind of watched Jaquan.
Who has to make lots of key decisions when you got a running quarterback like that.
And it might be because like he kind of had to do a lot of everything with so many injuries and everything. I didn't think he had a great game. I thought he stayed blocked a lot on run plays. And you watch like the Derrick Henry run touchdowns, and you'll see there wasn't a lot of resistance that was given by Bears defenders to get off blocks. I'll just say it that way.
We got some time for your phone calls, and we want to talk to you guys about Lamar shenanigans, about
Caleb, I call shenanigans!
Caleb level of play. And where you are with Caleb, that's how we started the show. Potsy's going to join us at 4:25, but we got time for you right now.
312-644-6767. What do you think, and what did you think about the Bears yesterday? We're taking your phone calls next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Just because there's a penalty doesn't mean that they eliminate National Tight End Day. Give and take. I mean, is there a position group that has better marketing than tight end? We didn't do a good enough job as defensive linemen, because I don't even know when our day is.
It's in August. Darn. 3rd and 6.
I've come to really like JJ as an analyst, and I'm a little surprised. I thought as a studio guy, he'd be good. I like him on game broadcast. I think he adds something really valuable to it.
Yeah, he's gotten comfortable really fast, and I think Ian is terrific.
He's so good.
Like, Ian has a really comfortable way of being funny, where he's not, he doesn't come off like he's trying too hard. And JJ has a try hard aspect to him, but it's kind of gotten softened by Ian. So I think it's a nice pairing. I enjoyed the broadcast.
Let's talk with you about the Bears. 312-644-6767. Danny is out in Highland. Hey, Danny, you're on the Score.
Hey, what's going on, guys? All right, so the beginning of last year I called, and Steve, you kind of talked me off the ledge with the Bears and Caleb that it's going to come around, right?
Mm.
So I really started to buy in. Not so much last year, but you could see flashes. Get Ben Johnson, you know, the head coach of head coaches, totally excited. Been seeing progress the first few weeks of the season. I'm real nervous about these last two games. It's like I don't want to say he's digressing a little, but I feel he is. And it just sucks so bad, dude, because we've been through this with every Bears quarterback since McMahon, and I'm tired of it, and it sucks.
Yeah, man, I feel you. And it's like there's part of me that thinks, well, these days as a talk show host, I must stay entrenched in what my opinion was in October of last year. But things change. The coaching staff has changed. The time horizon has changed. The weapons around him, the offensive line in front of him. There's a lot that has changed to give him an opportunity. And I'm not, you know, locked and loaded on the far other side of it, but I'm worried. I am scared by some things that I have seen and a lack of progress that I feel like I'm seeing.
The thing is, and it's important to note, you can look at the performances over the last couple of games and be like, this is not quite what I wanted, and still have hope in Caleb. Like, those two things to me shouldn't be mutually exclusive. That you should be able, as a Bears fan or as a Bears observer, you should be able to go, man, I'm disappointed because this, and this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel this way. But I do think that we're getting to a point where a lot of fans are kind of in a different place maybe than we are, where it's like, we were promised jetpacks.
Yeah.
Where are the jetpacks?
Yeah, there are fans who are further along in the, oh my God, I think this guy's another one. Let's move on. What's next? And I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet, of course. But there are a lot of people who are.
I get that. I actually really get that. Joe, you're on the Score. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I think people need to get off the ledge and realize, number one, this roster is still has significant holes. Number two, he's still developing. And no two quarterbacks, no two people are the same. People develop and people learn at different rates. And I think the tangibles, the intangibles, and his skill set, he's going to be a great one eventually. It may take him longer than we would appreciate or want to get there, but he will. So I'm not worried. This is really his first season with Ben Johnson. So give the kid a break and realize this offensive line is still not top tier, the top offensive line in the league, not even in the top 10. So there's still a lot to go, a lot of development to go, fellas.
Thanks, Joe. I think this line is plenty good enough for him to be playing better. And I think the weapons are good enough, and I certainly know the scheme is good enough. I'm troubled by the fact that after the first 15 plays, things get a lot less efficient. I'm troubled by that.
Well, okay. Man, I wish we had more time because we could talk some of that stuff through too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that's – you can put that on the quarterback. You can also put that on the coach. They're allowed to react, and that's what Baltimore did. Baltimore reacted to that very well, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to heat him up a little bit. Here's Kyle Hamilton on the line of scrimmage, and we're going to show him sometimes, and sometimes he's actually going to blitz, and he's going to put pressure on him, and we're going to put him over on Theo Benedict.
Okay, no, that's fair. What I'd like to know, and we can do some work on this between now and tomorrow. Alex, do we have this yet? Not yet, because I just came up with it, and I haven't even voiced it yet. Okay, good. Time to throw. You know, after the first 15, like, and how much of that is because, you know, Ben is not scheming the same stuff, and how much of it is because Caleb is a little less comfortable and then starts to scramble when he doesn't need to and maybe extends those plays too long. I feel like I'm seeing a lot more improvisation after those first 15, and I don't know how necessary some of it is.
I would agree on that. Let's take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. We want to talk with you. 312-644-6767 is the number if you would like to jump in and talk with us here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Your calls on the Bears next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.